Thank you very much. It's a great pleasure to be here. I do apologize to the few of you who have heard this talk. The title is Cosu Categories. Okay, so I'll start, give a very quick introduction. My aim for about 10 years now, one of my interests have been to study representations of infinite-dimensional Lie algebras, locally finite Lie algebras. There are various classes of locally finite Lie algebras. And today we concentrate on the most basic class, which consists just of these three algebras, which I will define in a moment. They are defined by certain invariant properties. They're not chosen random, so they have very good properties. And we want to build a representation theory of these algebras in general. It is good to start somewhere, and we've made several attempts to study classes of representations. But what has recently come up is we finally, I think, understood what's a very good category of modules which are analogs of finite dimensional modules for these algebras. So today's talk is just devoted to a category which is like finite dimensional modules. Okay? So the field is C, and I start just with an exercise that the following conditions, so for the first 3 minutes or so, the algebra will be finite dimensional. So I haven't called this G yet, so let G be finite dimensional, semi-simple. Then the following are equivalent. These are conditions on following conditions are equivalent on modules, on G modules. The first is finite length integrable modules. Finite length So both the representation and its algebraic dual have finite length. Need to move this a little bit. Then we have integrable modules with finite dimensional weight spaces. Then we have finite length absolute weight modules. And then we have finite length absolute highest weight modules. I will, so let me explain some of the terms here. Yes, let's move it up. Okay, so finite length, representation has a finite composition series. Integrable means that every element of the Lie algebra acts finitely on the representation. In other words, a general definition of integrable means that for every m in M, for every g in G, the dimension of U, dimension of span of M G M G square M etc. is less than infinity. So every element acts integrably. Then, so this is one condition on the module. Then, here we want the module to have finite length and the dual module to have finite length. Here we want integrable modules which have finite dimensional weight spaces. Weight spaces means that the module M is a direct sum of M nu, where nu is in the dual of a Cartan, and the weight spaces are finite dimensional. Here we have finite length absolute weight modules. This is a new term which I want to introduce. I call a module an absolute weight module if it is a weight module for every choice of a Cartan subalgebra of G. Normally, when one considers weight modules, one fixes H, and that's why I want to emphasize that I want now it to be for every H, and that's why I call it absolute, because the usual definition sort of depends on the choice of H. That's why it's sort of relative to H. And then this is also some natural thing that you could consider. Absolute highest weight module. Well, first of all, what do I mean by that? I mean that the module has finite length, and each simple constituent has the highest weight with respect to every Borel subalgebra. So not with respect to some, but to every, and that's why I put absolute. Okay, so these conditions, so the exercise, so the first statement of my talk is that these conditions are equivalent to the conditioned module just to be finite dimensional if G is semi-simple. And this is an exercise. But this shows a little bit the difficulty we have when we want to define analogs of finite dimensional representations for more general class of Lie algebras. Which of these equivalent definitions we choose? We could also take maybe some other definition. See what happens. So then I want to introduce now the Lie algebras that I'm going to consider. So this is number one. Number two is my Lie algebras are just these three. And they are defined as direct limits. So you can define this as any direct limit of SLN as long as you take it the N in Z say bigger or equal 2. In other words, you're not skipping any indices N. If you just take a direct limit of algebras of the form SLN for N with gaps like N, N square, maybe N cube, then you get lots of Lie algebras. But if you take a direct limit so that you're not skipping any numbers, then you get one algebra up to isomorphism, no matter how you define it, how the actual embeddings are. And the same applies to these. So here you can take it as a limit of O, and here you can take it as a limit of SP2N. So these algebras are well-defined, no matter how you take the actual exhaustion, and they have other definitions too. And I want to mention just that another invariant definition is to have them locally simple Lie algebras. This means that their limits of simple algebras, locally simple Lie algebras, simple finite dimensional, of course, in my setting, with the root decomposition. So if you choose to define it like this, then there is a theorem that it's going to be isomorphic to one of these. Or you can give also an explicit definition in the following way. You take just a vector space V, which is countable dimensional. Okay? And you take a pairing, a non-degenerate pairing, a bilinear pairing between a countable dimensional space and another countable dimensional space. This is not C seen, I guess, because this is hidden, so let's do this here. So you just take a two countable dimensional spaces in non-degenerate pairing, then this thing is an associative algebra and a Lie algebra in an obvious way, you call this all such are isomorphic. It's not difficult to prove. So you can define this to be the GLVW. And so up to isomorphism, you get just one algebra. And for the orthogonal and symplectic, you just take a countable dimensional vector space with a non-degenerate orthogonal or symplectic form and take the subalgebra of this, which preserves the form. So this is another way to define them. Now I will I will call the pair a pair as given here, VW. I'll call it V and V lower star. In other words, just for some, I want to think of this sort of as a restricted dual to this. That's why I use this notation. And fixing such two spaces gives you the algebra, and conversely, the spaces are determined from the algebra as the natural and co-natural representation. So this is an equivalent way of giving this. Okay. So the next thing I want to say is that we would need a notion of Cartan subalgebras in these three. And we take the simplest possible notion, which is we call a splitting Cartan subalgebra a union of Cartan subalgebras for any exhaustion of this form as on the left board. And then up to conjugacy in SL infinity, so in these, I have now four algebras, I'm sorry. I have a GL infinity, SL infinity now, SL infinity defined as usual. If you think this of infinite, this is infinite matrices, each of which is finitely many non-zero entries, then this is the traceless such matrices. And then I have O infinity and SP infinity. An interesting phenomenon is that for these two, I have one conjugacy class of splitting Cartans. And for this, I have two conjugacy classes of splitting Cartans. And the reason is that, and of course, I have to explain conjugacy with respect to what, but let me say first that the reason is that no matter how you choose the splitting Cartan here and here, you get the same root system always, which is sort of the obvious infinite version of the root systems AN and CN. But here, you can get either a D infinity or a B infinity, and the two types of Cartan algebras, subalgebras, which are responsible for these root decompositions, obviously cannot be conjugated by anything. Now, the group with respect to which we do conjugacy is morally the connected component of the automorphism group of the Lie algebra, but we can define it explicitly to avoid talking about connected components. So we have always a group G tilde, which is for SL G tilde, this is the GL VV lower star. I will explain what I mean. And for the other cases, it is O of V and SP of V. So here it's easier to say this is the automorphisms of V, which of course preserve the corresponding form. And here, this is the automorphisms of V, which preserve V lower star, preserves in the sense that they, when restricted to V star, they induce an isomorphism. And V star here is considered as a total subspace of V upper star. So we have this picture that V lower star, this is my space here, it always sits in the algebraic dual of V due to the fact that I have a non-degenerate pairing. So the automorphisms of V act on V upper star, and the ones that induce an isomorphism on V lower star are the ones that I take. This is the sort of preservation of the pairing. So I have a well-defined group, and then it's a non-difficult fact to see that this holds. Then I want to define, to talk about the tensor algebras of these, some tensor algebras. So in each of my situations, I have, so for SL, I have the tensor algebra of V plus V lower star. This is the usual tensor algebra of mixed tensors when you take the natural and co-natural representation. And for O and SP, I simply have the tensor algebra of V, because I only have one natural module. Of course, for O and SP, you think so that you can define a co-natural, but it's isomorphic to V, therefore there is only one representation. These algebras are interesting modules over the corresponding algebra. And here's where the theory starts really differing from the classical theory very much. So the important thing is that these are interesting non-semi-simple modules. And why? This deserves a quick explanation. So let's see, what is this? I mean, this is the field plus a copy of this. These representations, of course, are irreducible. And then I get two times, well, then I get V tensor V, then I get V star tensor V star, and then I get two times V tensor V star, plus higher terms, of course. Now, it's all good up to here. It is semi-simple because these are irreducible. This, as usual, is the S2 plus lambda 2. This is usual S2 lambda 2, but this, in the classical theory, would have to be the adjoint plus a trivial one. And we're missing the trivial one here because this representation has no trivial submodule. So remember what this is. This is the matrices of infinite size matrices, each of which is finite and is being acted upon by SL infinity or GL infinity, makes no difference. And it has no trivial submodule because the trivial submodule in the usual case is the identity matrix, but the identity matrix is not here because it's infinite. Therefore, and so this has a socle or radical filtration like this. It is SL infinity is its unique simple submodule, then this is the module, which equals, you can think of it as GL infinity. And then the quotient is a trivial representation, but it doesn't split. And what happens in the higher terms of the tensor algebra is this phenomenon starts sort of iterating itself and becoming more interesting. For instance, if you take the tensor product of two copies of V and two copies of V lower star, then you already get something rather interesting. And the question is, what... It's natural structure. And some years ago, Constantin Stierkus and I, wrote down the socle filtration of TPQ, which is V tensor V lower star, P and Q times. And we, as I say, wrote down the socle filtration, essentially it is given relatively straightforwardly in terms of the natural contractions that you have, because if you pick a pair here, a V and a V lower star, then you have the contraction coming from that map. So you have, for every pair, you have all of these contractions. Then you take the kernels, then you intersect and so forth. And in terms of these contractions and their kernels, you get the Sokal filtration of the whole thing. So as you see here, the Sokal, by the way, is the maximal semi-simple submodule, is precisely the kernel of this contraction. So we have this explicit, and it is the reference is Progress in Mathematics, 288 P. Stierkus. What is the, now I could say more specifically, what's the aim of this talk? The aim of this talk is to show that there is a very nice category behind this combinatorial picture, because so far I have here representations, I have Sokal filtrations, but I don't have a category. By the way, good time to mention that this current talk, the Kosul thing, this is joint work with Vera Surganova and Elizabeth Dunn-Cohen. So now maybe I can introduce the category that we're talking about. So I will introduce very briefly, just show you that there's several categories that you can make out of this, and in fact I'll need some of them, so I'll write the three names. So I need a fat T. This is this category that's Kosu, and there's two larger categories that I want to also mention. So they're all sort of tensor representations, but I think that this is easiest to mention. This category consists of modules, so now we look up there. We look at our conditions. I want to take this condition in the middle. Finite length M and M star has finite length. Now, this condition, of course, if you take it literally for the infinite dimensional case, then the category consists of the trivial representation only. But if you insert the word Loewy, in other words, this is the category such that M is integrable, and both M and M, so both M and M star are integrable, and both have finite Loewy length. Both have finite Loewy length. And finite Loewy length means that the module is, that the Sokal filtration is finite and exhaustive. In other words, you take the Sokal filtration, and after finitely many steps, you reach the module. Then this is a very nice category, as it turns out. And we, in a paper with Surganova, we described the indecomposable injectives in this category. And this is what I want to mention, how they look. Well, first we want to describe the irreducible modules in that category. The irreducible modules in the category 10 tilde are just the irreducible subquotients of modules like this, or you could actually take the irreducible submodules and it's enough. The tensor algebra gives you a supply of modules in general, not necessarily simple, but certainly gives you a supply of simple modules. By the way, I failed to say, but let me stress, that in this paper with Stierkus, of course, these modules have finite length, so that's absolutely no problem. They have finite length. They have simple subquotients, and in fact, everything that appears as a quotient here, or subquotient, appears as a submodule for some other P and Q. Therefore, if you take the union of OP and Qs. It's enough to look just at submodules. And this is a supply of irreducible modules constructed directly. And by the way they look, so the simple modules, so let's first say simple modules here, the simple modules are of the form V lambda mu. And in fact, this is nothing but the socle of V lambda tensor V lower star mu, where lambda and mu are two Young diagrams. So you take a usual Young diagram, then you have something that you naturally call V lambda, that is a direct command in the tensor power, so V lambda, so if lambda is a Young diagram, then V lambda is a direct command in an appropriate tensor power TK of V, precisely the usual way, like S2 is in V tensor 2 or whatever. So for every Young diagram, you clearly have such a representation, and you can play the game both on the V side and the V star side. And you can take a tensor product of such, of course these modules are irreducible by definition, then the tensor product turns out to be indecomposable. Particular cases here where you took the Young diagram with one box and one box here, and this is indecomposable, and then Stierkus and I showed that it has a simple socle, and that simple socle is now the irreducible representation whose highest weight is the pair of these Young diagrams. This is a quick way to say it. In fact, there exists a very nice Borel. You can go through Borels and the highest weights, and it all works out this way too. So my simple modules are parameterized by pairs of Young diagrams, and the indecomposable injectives also admit a very beautiful description. Indecomposable injectives in this category also admit a very beautiful description in these terms. Simply the following holds, that if I take V lambda mu, and then I can put it in V lambda mu lower star upper star. Now, lower star means that I'm interchanging the role of V and V star when I take the lambda mu, so that would simply mean that this is the same as V mu lambda. Right, I mean lower star interchanges V with V lower star, so this is the same thing. And then I take algebraic dual of this. And it turns out that this algebraic dual is in this category here and is injective. And that is a nice result, which I would like to understand if in other categories this happens. Because, see, now you have some connection between, and this is, of course, an injective hull of this module, because this is indecomposable, this is simple. So there is some relation between injective hulls and taking algebraic dual in this setting that I'm working with. But this module is, of course, huge because it is of uncountable dimension, clearly, due to this star. And it's very interesting. But it has, as we have proved with Vera, it has finite Loewy-Lex, and in fact, it has finitely many non-isomorphic simple constituents. The whole point is that they come with uncountable, all of them come with uncountable multiplicity other than the socle, which comes with multiplicity 1. Okay, so then this is this category. Now, this without a tilde is another approach to this same. Now, notice two things, please. Although this has some tens in the notation, the definition never refers to any tensor modules. So see, we recovered the tensor modules just from this, because we said we want this condition. Then we said the simple modules are these. This is a theorem, not trivial. Then we got again the simple modules from the tensor algebra, and then okay, now this category is a subcategory here. So in fact, the categories, the way they look, this is the smallest, and I will come to it in a second. Then this here is this. Then this is here, this. And this is has another description. This is another, this is the minimal, the smallest tensor category of integrable representations. Which is invariant under upper star. And does not consist of trivial modules only. So, and tensor category here I mean with respect to the usual tensor product of representations of G. So you generate this just by saying, I want to be allowed to take algebraic duals, I want to be allowed to take tensor products, and I don't want to deal with just trivial modules, which of course if you take duals and tensor products. So. And then this is the smallest such category, and this is slightly smaller than this. The difference is that certain cardinals here are not allowed, certain cardinals of modules are not allowed, while this condition doesn't give you any restriction on the cardinal the way I gave it. Hence, there are some modules that are not reached. But this is about cardinals. So this category is, of course, also very large because all modules like this and all finite iterations of those are in here. And, of course, the indecomposable injectives of this and this is the same because the indecomposable injectives of the largest are here. So now we want to define this, and this is the new idea. The problem with these categories is that they have very nice simple objects, but due to the algebraic dualization, we're picking up huge modules and we're dealing with finite Levy lengths. Now we want to have something of finite length. And of course, you could maybe say something like just take finite length modules or whatever. But we found, we believe, a nicer way of singling out a category of representations. So, again, I will, it's an analog of my conditions there. So now the definition of this category TG is given. So, category TG consists of modules M satisfying one of the following three equivalent conditions. Okay, first, and let's say modules M of finite length so that I don't bother about finite length every time, so they're finite length. So first, M is an absolute weight module. Second, M is a weight module, meaning for some h, and is g tilde invariant. I will explain that. Or M is integrable. M is integrable and the annihilator in G of any M, so an annihilator for every M in M, contains, or let's say is, a finite Courant subalgebra. In G. So I have to explain some terms. Now, absolute weight module I introduced before, but now I'm taking absolute weight modules for the Lie algebra that I consider. In other words, I take all the splitting cartons that I have. As I know, they're all conjugated in two of my cases, and in the third case, I have two classes. And I require the representation to be a weight module over this. And they have finite length, of course. Here I require it to be a weight module for some h, but I want it to be g tilde invariant. Now, what does it mean? Well, g tilde is a subgroup of the automorphisms of the Lie algebra. Therefore, I can twist every representation by an automorphism. And if I keep getting an isomorphic representation, I call it invariant. In other words, isomorphic, all its twists are the same. And here I want it to be integrable. I don't insist on being a weight module, but I want it to have a very large annihilator, every element. This means, so finite co-rank subalgebra is any subalgebra containing the centralizer of a finite dimensional subalgebra. So if you think of this picture, here is your infinite matrices. They're growing this way and this way. Any finite dimensional subalgebra is concentrated somehow here. Then the centralizer of the finite dimensional subalgebra contains this infinite block. This is in the centralizer. And you may have more. Okay, so if it contains the centralizer of something finite dimensional, it's finite co-rank by definition. And so this is these conditions happen to be equivalent, and then they define a certain category, which again looks completely abstract, but again, this I haven't proved yet, nor have it stated. Again, a theorem says that the simple objects in this category are, again, precisely our V lambda mu's. Because, see, the V lambda mu's being defined as submodules of the tensor algebra is an absolute weight module. No matter what you do, how you choose these Cartans, they're going to act via weight spaces on V, and therefore they're going to act on V lower star, and then they're going to act on the whole tensor algebra. So again, a theorem says that the simple objects of TG, this is a big fat G, are the V lambda mu's. And in fact, I want to call the objects of TG, I want to call just tensor modules. You will see in a moment why. The next important thing, which I want to label, I'm at 4, so let me go to 5. I want to describe the indecomposable injectives in TG. So let's say that we have 5 indecomposable injectives in TG. Okay. So, you obviously have the following functor. So, let's see now. Now it's really easy to see that this category TG is a subcategory here. There is no question about that. So I have the inclusion functor, and then I have an adjoint functor which goes down from this, or this doesn't matter, to this. And what's that functor? Well, that's taking the absolute weight part of a module. So I have this functor gamma weight, which goes from tens g tilde down to tg by taking a module and sending it to the intersection of all weight parts with respect to all h's. It's well known, theory of weight modules, one uses this rather often, that if you have some module which isn't a weight module, you're allowed to take its weight part. Now, you may get 0. In this case, this is a very nice functor. And even more, you intersect over all H's and you still get something. And this, of course, is an absolute weight module by definition, because this is a weight module for all H's, right? So now we claim that this functor is adjoint to the inclusion functor and therefore cuts down our indecomposable injectives of the big category to indecomposable injectives of the small category. And then a very nice proposition says that if I apply this functor, gamma weight, to my indecomposable injective here to V mu lambda star, then guess what happens? Then I get the indecomposable module, which is a submodule of the in the tensor algebra, precisely this with mu and lambda, so I get the mu tensor V star lambda. In other words, plus something else. I'm not sure. When I take the irreducible, you sure that there's plus something else? Okay, maybe plus something else. We can. Sure. Let me see the first example in which you actually get plus something else. Because if you take the adjoint, you don't get plus something else. Because I'm applying it to an irreducible. So if you go to degree 3, you say you get something else? You might get, okay. So, okay. So plus something which is a direct, let's say, something, but important thing is a direct command. So now, this, of course, is injective because this is a joint functor. And then this being a direct command in an injective is again injective. And then you see that this now is, of course, the injective hull of this in TG. So let me see if my lambdas and mu's are okay. Because I somehow get the lambdas and mu's reversed, right? We are. Should I? Anyway, no, I don't. What should I take? No. I don't have any perps here so far. The perps come later. I put here, but I'm confused. What is the socle? Is it V mu lambda or V lambda mu? Doesn't matter. The socle of this, the way I've written it, obviously is V mu lambda. So let's say that this is the socle of it. And so now we have the indecomposable injective, and now we have a categorical understanding of this tensor algebra. So what happened is that just the indecomposable pieces in it are now injective hulls of their socle in the category of TG, of tensor modules, or absolute weight modules, or whatever you want to call it, due to these three conditions. Okay? And then the next step comes. So now you see how nice this category is. You want to study it. And then you find out that this category is Kusul in a very natural sense. So I'm going to try to explain this. So I have now number, what have I? Six. Five ahead. So now comes six, which says TG is Kusul. Okay. So you have an injective generator in this category. That is the direct sum of the injective hulls, or of injective hulls as constructed, of all simple modules in this category. But that's not very far from the tensor algebra itself, because the tensor algebra itself is just this with certain multiplicities. Remember that, for instance, if I took the tensor algebra, then here if I took the adjoint representation, I would take one copy. Now I'm taking two copies. So for reasons of some beauty, let's take the tensor algebra itself. So we have that in TG, in fat TG, T is an injective generator. OK? By the way, for technical purposes, it might be convenient to restrict the power. We could talk about T less or equal to R is an injective generator of T G less or equal to R, which means that this would be the subcategory which whose simple objects are just whose degree is restricted, and that's the full subcategory. So of course PG is the direct limit, so of course PG is the direct limit of these categories for restricted R. And if we work with each of those, it has finitely many simples rather than infinitely many simples. So for some purposes, it might be convenient to look at this. So we're not losing any information. So let me do this. So this is then an injective generator. And then I can make a ring, finite dimensional algebra, actually, simply by saying that I take A GR less or equal to R is the endomorphisms over G of T less or equal to R. So the endomorphisms of the injective generator is a finite dimensional associative algebra. And in fact, the category of A G less or equal to R finite dimensional unitary modules is equivalent, is anti-equivalent, equivalent to T G less or equal to R, and the functors are, so if you go to, let me write down the functors, for this I need to find my glasses, okay, so the functors are just the two HOMs, so let me write them down. And they are actually mutually equivalent, so I want to take HOM and TG less or equal to R opposite category of injective generator. This is my tensor algebra. Which is the same as HOM G modules of into my tensor algebra. This is one functor, and the other functor is the HOM over A G less or equal than R into the, again, into the tensor algebra, which is now considered as a left module over its own endomorphisms. Well, the left is if I reverse, because I said that this is now an anti-equivalence. So if I want to have an equivalence, I need to put an opposite here. And the places of these are reversed if I take the HOMs in the opposite category. So, no good, because this is, we'll repeat this here. So we have T, G, less or equal R opposite goes into A G less or equal to R F modules, and from here we go by HOM over in this category T G less or equal to R off of the tensor algebra. This goes this way, and this way we go HOM A G less or equal to R dot T less or equal to R. Okay, so we claim that these two functors are mutually inverse equivalences of categories. And So far the word Kosul hasn't appeared, but now you have a finite dimensional associative algebra, which is also Z-graded, as you will see in a moment, and we claim the next theorem is that it is Kosul. So, and maybe I'm close to finishing, let's just say this. So let me just describe the grading and say that it is Kosul. And so we define the grading on this. J is HOM. J. Now this I'm writing for SL because there's some problem that I have to deal with two indices for SL and with one index for the other two. TPQ TP minus J Q minus J. This is the jth piece of the algebra, and it's important that AJ less or equal to R is the direct sum of AJ less or equal to R J for J bigger or equal to zero. In other words, when you look at those endomorphisms, the tensor algebra is such that it doesn't allow you grading components with J less or equal than zero. That's not the case. In the finite dimensional case, you would have pieces on both sides because you would have something like the trivial representation going to a higher tensor power, but in the infinite dimensional case, this is not allowed. So we get this algebra, and the theorem is that this is Kosul. Okay. And then, of course, your AG, which is responsible for the non-truncated or categories, is just the direct limit of these. They are nested. You lose the identity at the direct limit because each of these has a 1, but the limit algebra doesn't have a 1. Then the limit category, so your TG is going to be anti-equivalent to the category of AG locally, finite dimensional modules, F mod, which are locally unitary. In other words, you don't have a 1 in the limit, but you have a 1 for the pieces, and the modules have to be locally unitary. And then this is the, in this sense, it is Kosul. And if I had more time, I could tell you about the structure of this algebra. We know it explicitly and so forth, but I will stop here. Thank you very much.